Good morning, friends. Welcome to worship. My name is Morgan Murray. I am the transitional pastor here at West Valley Presbyterian Church. During the month of October, we looked at favorite Jesus stories, and we got to share in some of the favorite Jesus stories of folks in our group. And we're actually going to do that one more time this morning, because as we were sharing in our adult ed hour last month and asking people what their favorite Jesus story was, one of our participants said, "My favorite Jesus story is the Last Supper." And we got curious about that. Why is that? And he said, "It's because I know that everybody is invited." That he said, if those guys could get in, that could be invited to the table, then I'm invited. I'm included too. And if that sense of invitation is what Jesus is about, then I can be a part of that. And I just thought that was so extraordinary, so beautiful, and felt like especially appropriate, right, for the first Sunday of the month when we observe the Lord's Supper together, and especially on this Sunday in November when we think about this in the context of gratitude. Whenever I think about the word gratitude, I always want to connect it to another G word. And that other G word is generosity. In the kingdom of God that Jesus proclaims and demonstrates and lives, generosity is always the natural expression of gratitude. Because we're grateful, we are able to be generous. Because we experience the overflowing, the infilling of God, the fullness of God's provision, the fullness of His love and care for us, it's out of that overabundance that we have the capacity to be generous. It's when we can be really anchored in the reality that I have more than enough that I can give that away. And so this morning I want us to think about the Lord's Supper as something for which we can be grateful, and just be grateful that we're invited. We're just grateful. I didn't earn it. I can't do anything to make Jesus want me. He's just picked me. He's invited me. He's invited you. He's invited us together. And at that moment when I look at myself and think, I'm not worthy, or when I look at you and go, wait a second, why are you here? We interrupt all that and just say, we're grateful to be invited. Let's look together at the story of the Last Supper as Luke tells it in Luke chapter 22. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. And he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you, for I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed, but woe to that man who betrays him." They began to question among themselves which of them it might be who would do this. Also a dispute arose among them as to which of them was considered to be the greatest. Jesus said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you shall be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you a kingdom, just as my Father conferred one on me, so that you may eat and drink at my table and in my kingdom, and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." This is the word of the Lord. Let us say thanks be to God. There's a lot there. There's much to consider. But perhaps the things I want to just meditate on for a few moments are these. First, that Jesus begins by saying, "I have earnestly wanted to share this meal with you before I suffer." That sense in which these friends, who he says have stood by him in his trials, these are the people most precious to him. And that when he extends that invitation to them, and when the gospel writer Luke describes it that way, I hope that you can hear that invitation as well. That whenever we gather at this table, we can hear Jesus saying to us, "I have earnestly desired to share this meal with you. This is something I have been looking forward to. It is the most intimate thing I can do with you, to share this meal. And it's not just bread and cup," he says. "It's me. I'm giving you me." I hope that you can sense that joy, that love, that grief, because there's suffering in it. It costs the Lord. It's going to cost the Lord to give, to have this meal, and for this meal to mean what all the things that he longs for to mean. It's going to cost. He's going to have to give the fullness of himself at the cross for this meal to have the meaning that he longs for it to have. Have you ever had a meal like that? Have you ever shared a meal that said, "This is the last meal we're going to all share together before our oldest goes off to college"? Or, "At this rehearsal dinner, we're all coming together for the first time as two families around the happy couple, and after this meal, things are never going to be the same again. We're going to be, it's a totally different family, a whole new experience." Or the meal that we share after the memorial service, where we all come together and we celebrate a life and say, "We're all here for one reason. It's because the person who's left us is one that we're going to carry with us in our hearts for the rest of our days, and we share this meal." There are meals like that. And this meal, whenever we celebrate it, is intended to be that way. It's the meal that Jesus is saying to you this morning, "I have earnestly desired to share this with you." The other thought that I would want us to take with us is just how messed up these people are. Just how profoundly, beautifully, horribly human the 12 disciples were. Jesus needs to explain to them not to blame and not to be upset and not to accuse, but to set them up for understanding, because he knows that this act of betrayal that Judas will commit is going to so disorient them, is going to so confuse them, that he needs to tell them in advance. Otherwise, they're going to think that it caught Jesus by surprise. They're going to think that somehow Judas's betrayal is what messed the whole thing up. And what Jesus wants to say is, "This, I know this is coming. This is part of the whole plan. It doesn't make sense to you. It doesn't need to, but I want you to be aware of it." And what you notice is how that immediately, at this meal in which Jesus is trying to create unity, there's already division. There's already tension. Last month we talked about how each of these favorite Jesus stories has a problem or some tension to resolve. And there's an invitation that Jesus extends. And there's a beautiful question. There's nothing beautiful about the questions being asked at the meal at this moment, is there? First, it's which one of us is gonna let our master down? Which one of us is gonna betray? So there's accusations, and then Luke makes a point of saying, oh, and by the way, that wasn't enough for them. It wasn't enough for them to focus on trying to figure out which one of you was the rat. But then we also have to have an argument about which one of us is the greatest. This is what we do. This is what we as humans do. We are constantly about the business of trying to decide who's good and who's bad, who belongs and who should be excluded, who deserves this and who doesn't. Judge, 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 judge. It's the one thing that we constantly do, and it's the one thing Jesus constantly tells us to stop doing. Therefore, do not judge. Don't be judging. Don't worry about it. Don't get into that. Don't exhaust yourself trying to figure that out. Instead, he says, let me model for you this servant, self-giving love, and do this too. He offers the cup. He says, divide this amongst you. Share this, because it's all I can offer. It's the fullness of me, and I'm not going to be in this again until we're all together in the kingdom. He offers that, and then he says, now, you know how people out in the world do it. The person at the top of the pile, he gets to be called a benefactor, and he treats all the people like subjects. He says, that's not how it works with us. I'm showing you service. I'm showing you servant love. I have earnestly longed to share this meal with you. Do you sense the gratitude that Jesus has in offering this meal? It's out of his generosity that is completely unearned that we can receive this, the extraordinariness of this meal. Last week, my power went off. My house was about 1,000 yards from beautiful open space. And that open space, can catch fire. So PG&E turned off our power for a couple of days. And I went and bought the ice to try and save some stuff. And about a half an hour after I bought the ice, they turned the power back on. By that time, I had already thrown away all the stuff that I felt like I needed to throw away. But it was time to go back to the store and get some staples and stuff. So I'm standing in line and I'm just getting milk and half and half and eggs. But the lady in front of me, she's a mom. You can tell because she's got a cart full of stuff. She's got to replenish all that stuff for the family. And she's on the phone, and she's talking to somebody, and she's got all this stuff. And she looks back and sees me, and she says, oh, you go in front of me. Man, thank you. I don't want to stand in the line with it. Thank you. So I say, thanks. So now I'm between her and the person in front of her who's doing his shopping, and he's an older guy, a little older than me. He also is buying, buying his staples, the stuff that, the stuff that was once refrigerated but now has gone bad and he has to replace them. And now I'm there. She's let me get in front of her so I don't have to deal with all that. And he's writing a check. And they run the, he runs the check in, signs the check, and the cashier tries to run it through, it doesn't work. Tries to run it through, doesn't work. Tries to run it through a third time, and you can tell he's becoming anxious, because the check's not, she's like, I don't know why, it just won't take the check. I look at how much his grocery bill is, and I'm like, he's writing a check for that? I mean, it's like nothing. And this is the moment in which I am grateful for Apple Pay. I love Apple Pay. I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but I mean, Silicon Valley, Apple Pay is pretty darn cool. And I just look at it and I go, I got this. And I put my Apple Pay in front of there and click and boom and, it's paid for. And the guy's like, oh, well, thanks. And the cashier's like, oh, well, thanks. And the lady behind me, she's all impressed. And all I could think to myself is, I'm just grateful. I'm grateful that while other people have lost everything, I still have a house with a roof. I'm grateful that I still have a refrigerator to put stuff in. I'm grateful that this lady let me get in front of her so I didn't have to stand in line behind all that. And I'm so grateful that I could just use Apple Pay and pay for this guy's, you know, eggs and milk and whatever he had. And that I know that I have a job and that I'll be able to cover that credit card bill later. Because it's not free money, by the way, the Apple Pay. You actually do have to pay for that eventually, in case you didn't know. I was just grateful. It was easy. It's so easy to do a little thing that other people think is a big thing when you're grateful, when you're just grateful. And I will be so grateful when my man Frank figures out why that ringing is happening. Makes that go away once and for all. Awesome. Thank you. I want us to understand that when we come together on the first Sunday of the month, and we're being called to live out a generous life, we're doing so because Jesus gave it all. It's out of the fullness of God's generosity given to us in His Son. It may not seem like a lot, huh? A little piece of cracker, a few drops of juice. But it's intended to embody, to represent, to hold, and to draw our attention back to the enormity of a universe created in love for us to dwell in. And that in that universe, in that sphere of love that surrounds us, it's all going to be okay. And we can be generous with one another. We can be so generous that we actually don't get hung up on who's letting Jesus down and who deserves an award for Disciple of the Year. We can be so generous that we actually don't get on that anymore. We can be so generous that when we see somebody else coming up to receive the gift of this table and we know what filthy, rotten sinners they are, we go, oh, wait, but I'm a filthy, rotten sinner too. And I'm so grateful for the generosity given to me that heaven forbid I would ever withhold this from somebody else. That I'd ever want to say to them, they're not really entitled. And perhaps the hardest part of all is to get off of a story in which I tell myself, I'm not worthy. Everybody else here loves Jesus more than me. Everybody else here is probably a good Christian. Everybody else here doesn't, you know, if they only knew the ways I mess up, the way I am in bondage to my fears and to my compulsions and to my judgments and to my hard-heartedness, if they only knew, they would judge me. And just like off of it, be free from all that. Perhaps the most extraordinary part of the story is that Judas ate too. Jesus knew he was going to let him down. And it was really going to hurt. And that meal was for him too. And that this meal prepares us is part of our work of receiving greater things for which we will be responsible. If you remember at the end of the story here, he says, you guys are going to be in charge of the 12. You guys are going to sit on thrones. You're going to be given responsibility. You've been given much, and much is going to be required of you. We receive this meal in the knowledge that that which has been given, we are then called to give away. So, prepare your hearts, friends. Prepare your hearts to receive this insanely generous gift of Jesus Himself. Be prepared to receive it and not understand what you're receiving. Be prepared to take Jesus in and not even fully understand why or what or how all this works. But instead to say, I don't know how it works, I just know that it does. And I trust that. And by God's grace, I have received all that I'm going to need. And now I get the privilege of giving myself and all I have away to others and knowing that there's always plenty. We're going to do it a little differently this morning. not because I'm just trying to make life hard on you. We're doing it because all of our trays and things are safely stored in Friedland Hall. And Friedland Hall is currently closed up because it's getting dealt with. And we can be grateful for insurance. Amen? We can be grateful that we have insurance, that when the water heater that nobody knew was there finally fails because it had been installed before anybody's memory, that when all that mess happens, it gets taken care of, and God is good. Amen? So this morning we're going to be celebrating by intinction, which means that our servers will have stations here up front, and they'll be holding a cup and bread, and you're invited to take a piece of bread and to dip it in the cup and consume it as you come forward. The ushers are going to invite you to come from your aisles and come to the center aisle, come down, and then circle back. If that is hard for you for any reason, or heck, if you're just like, I just don't feel like going, just raise your hand, and we'll bring it to you, no problem. One of the stations will be a roving station to come forward to you. We'll take care of you. You don't have to come all the way down. We got you, Adam. We're going to take care of you, no problem. We'll bring it to you so you don't have to go through all that trouble. Make sense? All right. Now, as I lead us in a moment of silence to receive and to take in this generous act of God, I want to invite the servers to come forward. And let's begin to set our minds and our hearts toward this extraordinary meal that we share together. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, giver of all good gifts, in whom we live and move and have our being, we thank you. We open our minds and our hearts to the fullness of gratitude that is appropriate for this beautiful morning, surrounded by this community of people who love us. In this extraordinary city, in this extraordinary region, this extraordinary part of the world that we get to live, we are grateful. Lord Jesus, we hear you. We see you standing before us, inviting us to this meal. How you have earnestly wanted to give it to us, to share it with us, knowing full well who we are, knowing full well how profoundly human we are, and how we let you down and we let each other down. Holy Spirit, gift from the Father and the Son, thank you for being present in this meal uniquely, such that as we share in it together, we experience and receive the generous gift of your grace that is beyond all imagining, is more than we can fully understand, but is nevertheless effective in nourishing us both physically and spiritually in order that we may be your people, your disciples, your family, your ambassadors, your givers of lavish generosity in the world. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who gather together at table and now invite us to share in it with you, we give you thanks. With hearts and minds wide open to receiving this grace, we now come And all God's people said together, thank you. Thank you, Lord. On the night that he was betrayed, Jesus gathered with his friends, and he took the bread, and he broke it, and he said, this is my body which is broken for you. And likewise, after the meal, he took the cup and pouring it out said, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. And for as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he returns. And so, friends, let us now receive the good gift of God. I'm going to let you guys be the rovers.
Okay.
There you go. The body of Christ given for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. The body of Christ given for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. And now, friends, receive the benediction. May the grace and the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and the love of God be yours now and forevermore. Go in peace. Amen.